It is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect. Thus far reads God's precious word. For a few moments tonight, I'd like us to turn our thoughts to verse 29. Verse 29. For by thee I have run through a troop, and by my God have I leaped over a wall. Dear congregation, David, near the end of his life, looks back. And as we note in this psalm, with a heart full of praise and thanksgiving, he rejoices in the Lord that he has come again and again to his aid and delivered him from his enemies. Notice again the title of this psalm, to the chief musician, the psalm of David, the servant of the Lord, who spake unto the Lord the words of this song, in the day that the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies, and from the hand of Saul, and he said. He had been in times of great distress. The Lord came and assisted him. One particular time is emphasized here in this psalm, and we note it in verse 6. In my distress I called upon the Lord, and cried unto my God. He had been in some great distress. He cried to the Lord, and the Lord in condescension bowed down his ear and heard his prayer. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even into his ears. The Lord did not forget him. He remembered David and assisted him. Note also verse 16. Here's David reflecting on the Lord, how he so graciously delivered him. He sent from above. He took me. He drew me out of many waters. Many waters, or great waters. Here David was sinking in the midst. He was being overwhelmed. The Lord came and delivered him. Then verse 19. He brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. As we saw last time, David faced times of darkness, in which he was so afflicted, his enemies surrounded him, and he was cast down. It was dark for him, yet the Lord came and revived his soul and restored him. And with this in mind, thinking of the remaining days which he had left, he could say in verse 28, "For thou wilt light my candle, the Lord my God will enlighten my darkness." The grace within would be revived and restored, and the Lord would come himself and be a light to him and lead him on in the darkness and eventually home to glory. For thou wilt light my candle, the Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. And then we come to our text tonight, and here David again is reflecting upon the Lord's remarkable deliverances and how the Lord had helped him and caused him to be victorious. Now, being mindful of a particular time or times when his enemies were arrayed against him, and then of those fortified places which he had come up against, he with joy and thanksgiving writes, "For by thee I have run through a troop, and by my God have I leaped over a wall." He is so grateful to the Lord. He rejoices in him. As we have already noted tonight in the call to worship, he renews his love to the Lord. He's so thankful for what the Lord has done. And he so loves him. The Lord has assisted him when the enemies were arrayed against him. The Lord had come to his aid. Well, here's these words of praise. And dear brethren, we make this our song. For by thee have I run through a troop, and by my God have I leaped over a wall. It is our song. For we have been delivered from many an enemy, and further, we have been delivered from many places of great difficulty. We have known victory in our Christian lives. Now, before we come particularly to these words again tonight, let this be underlined. We can see these words as being spoken by our Lord. We've seen this on numerous occasions In the New Testament, these words in the psalm are cited in view of Christ. And consider Christ here. For by thee I have run through a troop, and by my God have I leaped over a wall. Our Lord faced many an enemy. He found himself in difficult places, yet the Lord delivered him, and he came forth victoriously. Notice again verse 19, he brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. Our Lord had been in a place of great distress in his humiliation, but now he's come forth victoriously into a large place in his exaltation. And why? Verse 19, because he delighted in me. The Father so rejoiced over the Son and caused him to be victorious. And our Lord here is speaking these words. He's thinking of the enemies that were arrayed before him, Satan and many others. And the Lord caused him to run through them. The wall of difficulty that was before him, the Lord assisted him, and he overleapt the wall, and he came forth victoriously. And as we think of that, it gives us comfort, as we shall consider as we draw to a close tonight. If the Lord was so delivered, his people who have enlisted under him will be delivered as well. For by thee I have run through a troop, and by my God have I leaped over a wall. Well, as we turn to these words tonight, I'd like us to consider the Lord enabling, first of all, a mighty army. We have there the troop. Secondly, a formidable war. And then thirdly, a gracious helper. A mighty army, a formidable war, and a gracious helper. For by thee I have run through a troop. Or I have broken through a troop. The enemy was arrayed, standing fast. Here's David and his men. He goes forward and he breaks through. He overcomes. He's victorious because of the Lord who graciously assisted him. For by thee I have run through a troop. Well, let's consider firstly them a mighty army. Not just one or two here, but a troop. Or it can be translated from the Hebrew as an army. For by thee I have broken or run through an army. David's enemies were many. Besides Saul and his men, there were the Amalekites, 1 Samuel 30. There were the Philistines, 2 Samuel 8, verse 1. The Syrians, 2 Samuel 8, verse 5. And on we could go. There were many who came up against him. There were many armies, many troops that came and fought against him. Well, returning to the Amalekites, in 1 Samuel 30, verse 8, we read these interesting words. David, he goes and asks the Lord, should he go forward? And we read in 1 Samuel 30, verse 8, and David inquired at the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. He turns to the Lord. He asks the Lord, shall I pursue? And the Lord gives him that assurance. Not only would he go forward, but he would be victorious. And it's believed by some that David has in mind this occasion. For by thee I have run through a troop. Where David had many who came up before him. And dear brethren, we have many an enemy who arrayed themselves before us. Well, let's think of this tonight. First of all, consider Satan and his ranks of demons who do his bidding. Satan and his ranks of demons who do his bidding. Thankfully, there is limitation, but let us not underestimate Satan's power and the power of his demons. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11 and verse 12, we read these words, put on the whole armour of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Not there we wrestle against such. And as we consider this, remember first of all, your archenemy, the devil. We've read there of the wiles of the devil. And then we think secondly of his demons there in those verses. Well, as we consider Satan, remember there is his sieve in which from time to time the Lord's people can be caught therein. We find ourselves in such an occasion and he comes out against us and we're caught in the sieve. Those words to Peter, Luke 22 verse 31. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. He desires, or he demands, it's a strong word in the Greek, he demands to have you. He so wants you. At times you may find yourselves in the sieve. He will attack you. He will shake you up and down. He will whisper in your ear. He will fire his darts. Remember, there is your enemy. And further, his army of demons who do his bidding. There's a troop. Are we not thankful for the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the strong one, the stronger than Satan, who has defeated Satan, as we see in Psalm 24, who is this strong and mighty in the battle? It's our Lord. He came forth victoriously. Rest in him. But remember, you have an enemy, Satan. Well, we could consider firstly then Satan and his army of demons. But let's move on now and consider secondly, unconverted men. Our Lord in the parable of the wheat and tares said in Matthew 13 verse 38, the field is the world, the good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked. Now see how it flows through here tonight. First of all, we consider Satan and his army of demons. And then we consider, secondly, unconverted men. And they're referred to by our Lord as the children of the wicked one. And oh, what a mighty troop is arrayed before us. So many oppose you in this world. So many belong to the kingdom of darkness. What a blessing, we're in the kingdom of light. We're in the kingdom of God's dear Son. But oh, there are so many in the kingdom of darkness who stand arrayed against us. Be on your guard, dear brethren. There's a troop awaiting you each and every day. There's a vast army in this world who oppose King Jesus and his people. Be on your guard. Sometimes men in this world can act in a very decent way. There can be a natural kindness. But at certain times one can suddenly speak and they can so hurt you with their words. In Psalm 57 verse 4, David here is reflecting upon his enemies. My soul is among lions, and I lie even among them that are set on fire. Even the sons of men, whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongue a sharp sword. There can be a natural kindness. There can be some words which are kind, but then suddenly come some vicious words from your enemies. Oh, dear brethren, there are times when you are going to be hurt in this world. Many a soldier on the battlefield was wounded. And we're going to be wounded at times. We live in hostile territory. We have many an enemy. And they will speak and their words will hurt us. We are a soldier of Jesus Christ. We face many a battle. Oh, dear brethren, remember our enemy. We need to endure hardness as the apostle, as we live in this world. 2 Timothy 2 verse 3, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. We need to endure hardness. And we're reminded there we will have our enemies come up against us and they will attack us, they'll speak against us. We need to endure hardness. The Greek word which is translated as hardness there speaks of to undergo hardship, suffer trouble, be afflicted for the sake of Jesus Christ. Now we can think of certain afflictions as we live in this world, maybe bodily afflictions or financial afflictions. But consider their afflictions, sufferings for the sake of Jesus Christ. Undergoing hardship in this world for the sake of Jesus Christ. It's not going to be easy. The Word of God makes that so plain. We go through this psalm here and we see David in times of distress. We will find ourselves again and again in times of distress. The Word of God shows us this. But we also learn it by experience. We prove the truth of it. And as we think of the future, it's not going to be easy. We shall endure hardness as a soldier of Jesus Christ. Think of the army, the troop in this world. Those who oppose you, we're going to endure hardness. We're going to suffer affliction. We're going to be tried. Oh, stay close to your captain. Keep your eye on him. Trust him in the battle, dear brethren. But then also be thankful that you are on the Lord's side. What did we read earlier? Those words of our Lord. There are the children of the kingdom, the good seed. And there are the tares, the children of the wicked one. Oh, be thankful, dear brethren, that you are the children of the kingdom. You are on the Lord's side. You belong to him. You can rest in your captain who stands for you, as we see in Joshua chapter 5. Be thankful that you are on his side. But remember, you're in a battle. You will endure hardness. A troop will come up against you. Oh, dear brethren, keep your eye on your captain. Dear brethren, we face a mighty army. Do not underestimate the enemy. What do we read here? For by thee I have run through a troop or an army, a mighty foe. David had many an enemy who pursued him and come up against him. Do not underestimate the enemy. How important it is we do not underestimate Satan and his ranks of demons. How important it is we do not underestimate men in this world. Suddenly, you can be attacked. Do not underestimate the enemy. Well, before we move on tonight, remember Christ had many an enemy who came out against him. This is a vast subject. But let's just limit it briefly. Consider the hellish and bruising attack of Satan in the Garden of Gethsemane. When he was on trial, and then when he was upon the cross. So bruising was the attack. And then consider those who opposed him, particularly at that time, and cried out, "Crucify him, crucify him." There was a troop under Satan before our Lord. He found himself in the battle. For by thee I have run through a troop. And our Lord here is considering the army under Satan that was before him. Oh, dear brethren, in following him, our blessed Master, we will face many an enemy. But firstly then tonight, we think of a mighty army. Let's consider secondly, a formidable war. A formidable war. For by thee I have run through a troop, and by my God have I leaped over a wall. Now as David went forth, he would come to certain places which were fortified by the enemy. And we think here that he made some successful attacks. He scaled the wall, and he knew victory. And by my God have I leaped over a wall. Now if you turn to 1 Chronicles chapter 11, verse 4 through to verse 7, you see there When David came up against the inhabitants of Jebus, the Jebusites, and the castle of Zion. In verse 5 we read, "And the inhabitants of Jebus said to David, Thou shalt not come hither. Nevertheless David took the castle of Zion, which is the city of David." And in verse 7, "And David dwelt in the castle. Therefore they called it the city of David." There was a castle and there were walls of defense where David and his men scaled them. And there was victory. We think of a wall, it serves, does it not, as a defense. If you were to go down to Dover or over to Caerphilly or again down south to Porchester, you would observe some formidable walls rather. And they were built as a defense. An opposing force would have to scale them or break through them in order to conquer the enemy. The wall was a great hurdle. There were these fortified places before David. There was these hurdles. Well, dear brethren, we face many a hurdle in our lives. And some of them are put there by our enemies. We particularly consider that here in verse 29. You may come to a wall of difficulty in the workplace. Unconverted men and women are laughing at you. Or unfairly criticizing you. And they're out to make it difficult for you. I remember working for a firm a number of years ago, and just after I started work, a fellow gardener took a dislike to me and he made it so difficult. He used to start criticizing what I was doing and gossiping to others. And there was a wall of difficulty. Unbelievers can erect a wall of difficulty in the workplace or in the community. Unbelievers know how to erect hurdles in our ways. Think here at the fortified place, and by my God, have I leaped over a wall? There was this place, the wall, and David must scale it if he was to be victorious. The enemies have fortified it. Our enemies erect walls of difficulty for us as we live in this world. But let's think of some other walls tonight. We can think of a wall of difficulty which our enemies erect, but let's think of some other walls tonight. Think firstly of a wall of sickness. David knew sickness in his life. You may be going on in your lives and all seems fairly well, but then comes a day and you wake up and you hit a wall of sickness. And you feel weak, your energy is drained, and now you're struggling. All seemed well the day before, but now you've come up against the wall and it's difficult. You're struggling. How am I going to get through? How am I going to get over this wall? A wall of sickness comes before you. Consider secondly, a wall of tiredness. David, whilst he went from place to place as a fugitive, and then further as David fought in the battles, he knew much weariness of the flesh. And as we battle on, as we live in this world, we can hit often walls of tiredness. You may be going on a long walk and after a number of miles your feet begin to ache. If you do some particular exercise, you may have started doing that exercise and you go forth and you steam ahead, but then you get exhausted and you have to slow down. Maybe you're cycling a bike or on a running machine and you go as fast as you can, but then you have to slow down or turn the machine down. You hit a wall of tiredness and how can I go forward? My feet so ache and my legs are heavy. Mothers bringing up children can find themselves suddenly hitting a wall of tiredness. Having the children around, and a wall of tiredness comes, and they're exhausted. Hard-working men can come in the evening and sit down, and after tea, the family's there, but they just fall asleep. They hit a wall of tiredness. Ministers as they labour hard in the work, can come again and again against the wall of tiredness. A wall of tiredness comes before you. And you're struggling. It's hard. How am I going to go on? I just need to so rest. But I've got work to do. I must attend to certain things. Consider thirdly a wall of disappointment. You may be in some expectation. You've applied for a new job. You've had the interview. And it seemed to go fairly well. But then there comes a letter. We're sorry to inform you. And you hit a wall of disappointment. Other disappointments. You're hoping for something. Hoping to see someone. But the thing doesn't arrive or the person does not come. And you hit a wall of disappointment. In church life there can be such walls. A common one is this. And I was talking with one or two on Monday and the other week. Somebody comes in from the community. And they show some interest. They come to the next service, but then they're missing. And the weeks pass, and they're not seen again. And a wall of disappointment is hit. Well, dear brethren, in the providence of God, we all have our walls of disappointment. Like a great wall, suddenly a disappointment can stand before you, and your hearts can be heavy. All seem to be going well. You seem to know a measure of help and there's a going forward, but then a wall of disappointment and your hearts sink and you're cast down and you struggle. Let's think fourthly of a wall of sadness. A wall of sadness. Our joys are interrupted by sorrow. We can know a time when we seem to be so rejoicing in the Lord and our thoughts seem to go so quickly to Him. We're mindful of those words, the Apostle, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. And we think of those words often, but then comes a time of sadness. Some heartache, some upset. Someone has died. Some unbeliever has caused you trouble and you've been brought low in sorrow. Sorrow has so filled your heart and your eyes are filled with tears. Psalm 13 verse 2, here's the experience of the psalmist. How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? You see, day after day, he knew sorrow in his heart. He'd come up against the wall of sadness, and it was a great wall. He couldn't scale it. He knew sorrow on the next day. How long? When will I get over this wall of sadness that he had come up against? And it may be like that for you. When will I get over this wall? It's so hard. I know great sorrow in my heart. I know great agony within. We come up against such walls of sadness. Consider further, there are times because of our sin, we hit a wall of sadness. We feel we've let the Lord down. And we're cast down. Why did I say that again? Why did I do that? Why did I sin against the Lord? And sorrow fills our hearts. We hit such a wall. Like that publican in the temple, we find it hard to look up and we beat our breasts. Lord, take me over that wall. Help me, Lord. So a wall of sadness. And often we come up against such a wall. We think fifthly, a wall of fear. That's a wall that the Lord's people come up against. In Psalm 107, verse 25 through to verse 27, we read, for he commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to heaven, they go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man, and are at their wits' end. In the midst of mountainous seas, there comes a wall of fear. David, he was surrounded by his enemies. He knew fear in his heart. He came up against fortified places, as we note here in this text, but also against walls of fear. His enemies were so many and so great. Suddenly, you may come up against a wall of fear. The waves of affliction may mount up upon you, and suddenly there appears this wall, and you're fearful. Like Peter, one can begin to sink in fear as they take their eyes off the Lord and his word. Dear brethren, we face such difficulties. We face such walls of fear. What's going to happen? Yes, one moment we're resting in the Lord, we're strong in faith, we're recognizing the providence of God, we're repeating those words, all things work together for good, we're crying like the psalmist unto the Lord who performeth all things like for me. Like the Puritan, we're reflecting on the performances of providence, but then suddenly we may be fearful. We've hit a wall of fear. What are these walls of difficulty we face in our lives? Now, before we come and consider thirdly tonight, a gracious helper, remember our Lord faced a wall in his life. There were his enemies who so cruelly mocked him, who so cruelly physically afflicted him. Such a wall he faced. And then consider there was the wall of the wrath of God. What a mighty wall that was. There was the wall of the accursed death upon the cross. He faced the wall. He faced many walls. Walls of difficulty. Dear brethren, remember your sympathizing high priest. He faced a wall. He faced many walls. When you face a wall, he sympathizes. He is touched. When he sees you coming to a situation and there's a big hurdle, he is touched. He remembers and he makes intercession. For by thee I have run through a troop, and by my God have I leaped over a wall. When you come up against the next wall, remember your beloved sympathizing high priest. He faced such walls and greater walls in his life. Well, thirdly and finally tonight, a gracious helper. A gracious helper. For by thee I have run through a troop, and by my God have I leaped over a wall. Our Lord at the resurrection and in those following days, and as he ascended up into heaven, and when they cried, "Who is this?" The Lord of hosts, the King of glory, he would be reflecting on the way the Lord had graciously helped him, delivered him, and caused him to be victorious. For by thee I have run through a troop, and by my God have I leaped over a wall. Well, the Lord would reflect, and David here reflects, on God his gracious helper. For by thee I have run through a troop, and by my God have I leaped over a wall. The Lord helped David. We thought of the troop tonight. We thought of the wall. We think now of a deliverance and a remarkable victory. And why? Because of divine assistance. For by thee and by my God have I leaped over a wall. And dear brethren, as we conclude tonight, consider the Lord's gracious assistance. We thought of the troop. We thought of the wall. We're thinking here of deliverance. And why? Because of the Lord. In Psalm 124, verse 1, we read, "If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, now may Israel say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side when men rose up against us, then they had swallowed us up quick. When their wrath was kindled against us, then the waters had overwhelmed us, the stream had gone over our soul." And then verse 8, "Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth." And just think on those words, "if it had not been." And dear brethren, consider where we would be and the state we would be in if the Lord had not been on our side. What would have happened? We would have been swallowed up. We would have been consumed. We would have been overwhelmed, so in affliction that we would so sink, never to recover. But the Lord is on our side. And we can reflect, as did the people of God in the psalmist's day, that our help is in the name of the Lord. And dear brethren, as you think of the vast army that is arrayed out before you, and as you think of the walls that you will come up against, look higher and consider the Lord who is your help. Our help is in the name of the Lord. Dear brethren, in a gracious and merciful way, the Lord has and the Lord will come to our aid. We are the apple of his eye, as we see in Psalm 17. And he, because of his amazing grace, delights in us. Go back to verse 19. We thought this already in light of Christ, but let's now consider this now in the light of the believer. Because of Christ, our covenant head, he brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. The Father delighted in the Son. And because of that delight, there is that delight towards the seed, the Lord's people. And we can say, he brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. And dear brethren, how amazing that is. He delights in us because of the Son. Therefore, in a gracious and merciful way, he will come to our aid. Notice verse 19. He brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. Dear brethren, what grace, what mercy he has shown to us. Now consider again, David here is looking back in the way and looks back to how the Lord has delivered him through many a difficulty and delivered him from many an enemy. Look back tonight and consider the way the Lord in a gracious way has delivered you. Consider firstly, there has been his saving grace. And then in your lives as believers, there has been his supporting grace. David was supported in the battle, and so we have been supported in the battle. When we come up against the wall, the Lord supported us before he caused us to go over the wall. There is his supporting grace. Then there is his strengthening grace. How the Lord has caused you to go on. Notice verse 29. For by thee I have run through a troop. There may have been times when you have felt, oh, I could hide myself in this situation. I could run back, but the Lord caused you to go forward. Like David, you ran towards Goliath. Why? Because of God's supporting grace. And then the Lord's delivering grace. For by thee I have run through a troop, and by my God have I leaped over a wall. Oh, what grace! The Lord has delivered us. He has come again and again to help us. On the battlefield, our captain has been at our side and assisted us. He comes to deliver. He comes to help. Consider this. As you battle on, he comes to settle your heart and hold your hand. And so we read in Isaiah 41 verse 10, fear thou not. There he is. He's come to settle your heart. And then he holds your hand. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. And oh, how he has settled my heart in times past and held my hand. And it's your testimony as well. And there's none like the Lord who comes in a gracious and merciful way and settles your soul and holds your hand and leads you on in the battle and then helps you over the wall. Dear brethren, consider God. He is your helper, your gracious helper. Your merciful helper. In Psalm 121, the Lord willing, we'll sing in a moment. The psalmist said, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. There's the psalmist. He's looking up. Yes, he's making his way towards Jerusalem and along with the people of God. He looks up because Jerusalem was set on the hills, but he looks further. He considers the presence of God at Jerusalem and then to heaven itself. He considers the Lord and he considers the help that comes from him. And dear brethren, look up tonight through faith. Consider him who is especially known in glory. What a helper you have. And then consider his ability to help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. As you go home tonight on this lovely, cold, frosty evening, we're thankful for them at times, aren't we? Because we can just view the heavens. Well, view the heavens tonight. And don't think about the cold. View the heavens. He made the stars. He made this universe. He made heaven and earth. He's able to help you. And so when we come to this text, we're not surprised at this psalmist's testimony. That he was assisted in breaking through the troop. And he was assisted in leaping over the wall. He is able. He made heaven and earth. He's able to help us. He's of infinite power. God hath spoken, says the psalmist, twice have I heard this, that power belongeth unto God. And are we not thankful for that? Because of ourselves we're so weak, we could not get through the troop, break through, we could not leap the wall ourselves, but with God we can. With God there is deliverance, with God there is victory. Remember the cry of King Asa in 2 Chronicles 14 verse 11. It is nothing with thee to help. Just think of those words to begin with. It is nothing with thee to help. Suddenly, he takes you over the wall in a moment. For us, we might be thinking, well, I need to go up in that certain place as I climb the wall. I must do this. But for God, just in a moment, he takes us over the wall. It's nothing with thee to help, said King Asaph, whether with many or with them that have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on thee, and in thy name we go against this multitude. O Lord, thou art our God, let not man prevail against thee. It is nothing with thee to help. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on thee. Rest in the Lord tonight. He is of infinite power. It's nothing for him to help. He spake and this universe was brought into being. He spake and he gave you life. He's able to help you. You battling with your enemies at this present time. He's able to help you. Just he can speak the word and cause you to go through and be victorious. He's able to help you. None can stay his hand. He will come to our aid. Help will arrive on the battlefield. You think of those occasions, particularly in the Second World War. A unit was hemmed in and the Germans were before them. They were radio back for help. They would ask that the bombers would come and they would look behind them, that unit, and they would see the bombers on the horizon, and then they would see them going over their heads and bombing the Germans. Help arrived so often on the battlefield. And dear brethren, when you are facing your enemies and you're so battling on, look up and by faith consider the help that will come your way. And it will arrive. The Lord will help you. It may seem a long time coming, but it will come in God's perfect time. He will assist you. He's your merciful Heavenly Father who's always observing you in the battle. He's going to help you. Help will come. He will assist. This is our testimony and this will be our testimony. For by thee I have run through a troop and by my God have I leaped over a wall. Spurgeon wrote, what we need is help. help powerful, efficient, and constant. We need a very present help in trouble. What a mercy that we have it in our God. Our hope is in Jehovah, for our help comes from him. Help is on the road, and will not fail to reach us in due time. For he who sends it to us was never known to be late. Help will come, and when you need it. And oh, what help it is. Just notice these words again as we draw to a close. For by thee I have run through a troop. Do you feel at times you're struggling? It's hard to put one foot in front of another as you battle with your enemies. But then suddenly, through the Lord's help, you run through the troop. You come to a wall. However am I going to get over that? I've hardly any strength. Then suddenly, you're taken over the wall. You leap over the wall. That's what God does for us, isn't it? He strengthens us. He strengthens us within. And he causes us to leap over the wall. We feel so weak. But then we find ourselves leaping over the wall. Such is God's gracious and merciful help. Dear brethren, he will help you. You're struggling at this present time. Do you find yourself so weary? Help is coming. He will help you. He will deliver you in his good time. He will cause you to leap over a wall. You may not feel like you're able to leap at the moment, but you're going to leap over your difficulties. You may feel very weak and weary. There's a wall before you, but he with such ease is going to take you over it. Nothing is too hard for the Lord. You'll get over the wall of difficulty before you. It may be the wall of sadness. He'll assist you over it. The wall of tiredness. He'll strengthen you. And you will go forward. For by thee I have run through a troop. And by my God have I leaped over a wall. We must close. But remember, again, that these words can be seen as uttered by Christ. He was helped. He knew deliverance. You see, here the Son is giving God the Father the glory. For by thee I have run through a troop. And by my God have I leaped over a wall. He knew victory. He knew deliverance. Your captain knew it, dear brethren. Therefore, you are going to know it as well. In Hebrews 5 verse 7 we read this of Christ, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. Your Lord was heard, therefore you're going to be heard. You're going to find yourself running through the troop. You're going to find yourself doing something you may not think possible. Overleaping a wall. Well, in closing, consider. David gives the glory to God. Now, David was a skilled man. He was a good soldier. He knew what to do in the battle. He knew the tactics. But he gives God all the glory. For by thee I have run through a troop, and by my God have I leaped over a wall. Remember David, when he came up against Goliath, he was a skilled man, but he gave the Lord the glory. And so does he here. The remarkable deliverance and victory that David had known again and again in his life, he ascribes it all to God. And dear brethren, any deliverance you have known, any going forward you have known in the battle, any victory you have known as a believer, do not you with me give God all the glory. Of ourselves we would not go through the troop. Of ourselves we would not leap over the wall, even though we may have a measure of strength. We give God all the glory. Unto him be all the glory. Well, dear brethren, tonight we raise our Ebenezer. David was doing this in this psalm. Hitherto have the Lord helped us. He's helped us so far. And to help us now and in the future. He will not leave us alone in the battle. In accordance to his good pleasure, through his grace, he will see us through. We can look back hitherto, and as we do, we can look to the future. John Newton wrote, "His love in time past forbids me to think. He'll leave me at last in trouble to sink. He, sweet Ebenezer, I have in review, confirms his good pleasure to help me quite through." Consider his gracious assistance, how he has helped you so far. Will you not rest in it in the future? You all come up against armies. You all come up against walls of difficulty. But rest in the Lord. Rest in your gracious Heavenly Father. He will see you, as John Newton wrote, quite through. You'll get over all the walls, and then you'll be home in glory. Dear brethren, with a heart full of praise, let us offer this song of thanksgiving, in which we read, "For by thee I have run through a troop, and by my God have I leaped over a wall." Give God the glory, and give him the thanks. And in view of the previous verse, you remember there David looks back, but also he looks to the future, that the Lord will light his candle, look to the future, and praise God as well, that he's going to assist you, and you're going to get over the walls of difficulty.